Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, where we discuss the latest news, rumors, and games of the NFL and college football. As always, I'm your host, Jeremiah, and we are back again with another episode for you guys today. There was a report this morning of Kirk Cousins saying that he never demanded a trade to owner Dan Snyder. I will talk about that in a little bit. I'm going to talk about Tyrod Taylor's restructured contract with Buffalo as well and what I think about the move going forward. And I also will talk about DeMarcus Ware, who announced his retirement yesterday. And he also finished 8th all-time in career sacks. So I will reflect on his career a little bit. And I didn't get a chance to talk about Vince Young for the past couple of episodes. There was a lot going on in the world of football. But he is back playing football, guys. Yeah, Vince Young is going to play football next year. And I will pretty much tell you where he will be. But it won't be in the NFL. But first things first, let's get started with Washington quarterback Kirk Cousins. And he was on Adam Schefter's podcast. I think it was either this earlier this week. And he said that he never demanded a trade to owner Dan Snyder, but he rather inquired what the team planned to do after placing a franchise tag on him. So he tells this to Adam Schefter that he denied about demanding a trade. And, you know, which honestly, when I don't know if he's denying about not being traded, but, you know, he did tell us that this is a quote that he told Adam Schefter. He's like, quote, "I did inquire if there was any interest in trading me to get an understanding of their perspective. The answer I got back was Mr. Snyder communicated his belief in me and desire for me to remain a Redskin." So when Cousins first heard of his trade demands, he pretty much said he laughed and thought, "I don't know where that comes from, because that wasn't the case." So he thought that when he heard about these trade rumors that Chris Mortensen had reported last week, he said that it was pretty much funny that it came out that way. And Cousins told Schefter somehow it got twisted to where an employee of the store is using the word demanded. "That's not the approach I took." So, you know, Kirk Cousins has said, well, I don't know if he said, but there's been reports saying that he has a desire to play with San Francisco and the new 49ers coach, Kyle Shanahan, because that was the first offensive coordinator that he played for. And, you know, during his time in Washington. And, you know, Cousins, you know, him going to San Francisco and him staying in Washington, that's going to be pretty much looked at throughout the whole offseason. But as we get closer and closer to April, it looks like that Kirk Cousins will remain with Washington. And, you know, Washington placed the franchise tag on Kirk Cousins for a second consecutive year. He did sign it Friday, so that makes him eligible to trade. So he will be guaranteed a $24 million payday. And, you know, Kirk Cousins and Washington have not been able to figure out a long-term deal. And the Redskins did have an offer. It was before the scouting combine. It was for $20 million a year. And one source described it as low guarantees. And I was like, low guarantees? So it's going to take a lot of money for Cousins to stay in Washington. And I don't blame him, because we saw all the turmoil that this franchise has gone through this past few months. So this year, Cousins could make $24 million. And if he's not tagged for third straight year, he will hit the open market. And I do think he will receive more money than what he has the past 2 years. But if he is tagged next offseason, he's going to be owed $34.5 million. And that's going to be over $70 million in over 3 years. But I do understand why Kirk Cousins wants a long-term deal because, you know, I talked about this a little bit with Tom Brady and the Patriots yesterday that injuries can happen at any time. Let's just say that Kirk Cousins does get hurt and has like a season-ending injury week one, week two, very early in the season in September, maybe in the preseason. And let's just say that, you know, with his injury, it's going to hinder his chances of getting a long-term deal with another team. So I do think with the security and, you know, we're playing one of the most physical games in America, I do think that that's a very valid reason why he wants a long-term deal. Because, you know, you can pretty much, your career can get ended at any moment now. And remember, he plays quarterback. You know, people are going to hit the quarterback. You know, this is a passing league. You got to have a quarterback that passes, and you got to have pass rushers to sack the quarterback. So, you know, if you're a quarterback and, you know, you're the opposing defense, your main objective is to either stop the run, stop the pass, and sack the quarterback. Those are pretty much your main objectives when you're playing defense. So, you know, with Kirk Cousins not getting a long-term deal and his frustration not getting one, it does make a lot of sense that, you know, he does want that security. And, you know, Washington, they just haven't had a good offer to Cousins. And I do think they got to do anything in the power to keep him long-term. They haven't had a quarterback in like 20 years. 20 years, this team has not had a valuable quarterback in forever. And remember, Cousins is still young. I think he still has he has a lot of time left in him. He's only 28. So, I do think that Washington, they have to make the right decision. They have to do it this year. And if they don't get a long-term deal done, I think Cousins is going to walk. I think he's going to have enough. But, you know, as we move closer to April and then closer to the summer when training camp approaches, it looks like that, you know, Kirk Cousins' trade to San Francisco looks very unlikely. I think for that to happen, I think Washington will have to be blown away. And I do think that the 49ers, I wouldn't be surprised if they offer that number two overall selection. So, because the reason why I'm not really in love with anybody at that number two spot. So I can see the Niners trading down in the draft or probably trading that pick to Washington. But it looks like that Washington has no desire to even do that, which I do think that if you had a chance to get a top five pick for a quarterback, then I think you might have to move that. I think you might have to make that deal if you have a very unhappy quarterback. You know, that could probably give you a chance to draft a quarterback, even though I'm not high on any quarterback in this draft. But it remains to be seen in how this all plays out. But I do want to say this. If the Redskins don't trade him and let him hit the market next year, they will receive a third-round compensatory pick in 2019. And so if all they will get back is a third-round pick, I do think that they will want to get more. Because, you know, things change in the league. You know, what if Kirk Cousins has a bad year? There's no way that they're going to want. There's no way that team's going to trade for him. There's no way. So this is the reason why I do think that Washington has, if they want to get a lot back for Cousins, they have to do it now. But I don't think it's going to happen. It's just tough for me to see Washington make any good type of deal. You know, we've seen what this team has done. Remember, they gave up a lot to get RG3, and then they actually drafted Cousins in the same draft, which I thought was kind of hilarious at the time. But I did understand it, you know, as the time went on. But I do think that I wouldn't be surprised if Cousins is in a 49ers uniform. And I wouldn't be surprised if Cousins is in a Washington uniform next year. So, honestly, it's just a wait-and-see approach at this time. And with him not demanding a trade, I still think that he may have asked about it. Probably asked to be traded. But I do think that this is something that we have to pay close attention to as we move forward to training camp, and you never know. This can be a distraction for Washington, and they're in a very tough division now, and it got a whole lot better this past week with a lot of free agent deals. You know, Philly added some receivers. You got the Cowboys. You know, they're probably going to be the same thing. You know, they got two really good second-year players there. And you got the Giants adding Brandon Marshall to make a really good receiver duo, and Marshall and Odell Beckham. But if Cousins remains with Washington, he will have Terrell Pryor, which I do think that was a good signing by Washington, by the way. He had Jordan Reed and Jameson Crowder. So it's not as good as having DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, but it's still pretty solid, and that's a really good group of guys that he could work with. All right, well, I'm going to take my first break, and when I get back, I'm going to talk about Tyrod Taylor and his restructured deal with Buffalo and my thoughts on the move from both sides. And I will discuss what I think about all that when I get back to Going to Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
And welcome back to Going to Media Concepts Football Podcast. And Tyrod Taylor and the Buffalo Bills both made a great decision on each other last week. It looked like that Tyrod Taylor was not going to be in a Bills uniform this upcoming season. He was set to make $30.5 million. And they decided to restructure the contract. And it looks like Tyrod Taylor has take a $10 million pay cut. Taylor was actually supposed to make $40.5 million between 2017 and 18 on the original contract combined. Actually, the $30.5 million is the restructure contract, but it's in a span of 2 years, in 2017, 2018. So basically, Buffalo pretty much gave Tyrod Taylor a bridge quarterback contract type of deal. And, you know, Tyrod Taylor looks like he was going to have a lot of offers from a lot of quarterback needy teams. You know, it looked like the Browns were going to go after Tyrod Taylor. I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers would have made a play on him. But I do think that the Bills made the right decision to restructure Tyrod Taylor's deal. You know, they didn't have any better option at quarterback, and he's been really good with the Bills as the starter. So, you know, the pay cut, I really do think it kind of suggested to Taylor that he probably couldn't get a better deal from another team if he was released by the Bills. I don't think he would have got a better deal. He definitely would have signed with the team, but I don't think he would have had a deal that was a span of $15 million per year. So, you know, last week, Tyrod Taylor said that his agent spoke informally with a few teams at the NFL Combine, and after doing so, they decided to accept the reduced deal from Buffalo. You know, if Taylor did not accept this pay cut, the Bills were going to release him. They had interest in Brian Hoyer, and Brian Hoyer actually ended up going to San Francisco, and Tyrod Taylor ended up taking that pay cut. So, it really looked good, and Tyrod Taylor's 2017 cap number, it drops from $15.9 million to $9.7 million under the terms of the restructured deal. So, if the Bills choose to keep him for the 2018 season, his cap number will be 18.1. It would have been 16.8 under his previous contract. But I do like that Buffalo worked out things with Tyrod Taylor, and Tyrod Taylor's been really good. I think he's been one of the most underrated players in the game. And, you know, he's 14-14. He started 29 games. So 14-14, it's really nothing to get excited about. You know, that is basically 500. But when you look at his numbers, you know, Tyrod Taylor has thrown for 37 touchdowns and 12 interceptions in the past 2 years. That is good for the sixth best ratio in the NFL. And I do think that with a healthy Sammy Watkins, a healthy LeSean McCoy, and a healthy Tyrod Taylor, I do think that Buffalo is a potential wild card team. And it looks like that Buffalo is going to have Tyrod Taylor for at least 2 more years. It looks like that will give time for their next quarterback, who I think they might draft this year. Maybe it's Deshaun Watson, the 10th pick, or maybe they draft a quarterback in the second round. I think Patrick Mahomes is a guy that could be there. But since the start of the 2015 season, Tyrod Taylor has been really good. You know, he ranks 8th in total quarterback rating at 69.2. He's 12th in passer rating, 94.2. 20th in completion percentage, 62.6. He's 12th in yards per pass attempt at 7.4. And he's 6th in touchdown to interception ratio, which I just said, the 37-12. So he leads NFL quarterbacks in rushing yards since 2015. But he has been sacked over 78 times over that span, which is the 5th most in the NFL. So, I do think with the moves that they made, I do like the signing of Patrick DeMarco, who was a really good offensive weapon for Kyle Shanahan's offense last year in Atlanta. And, you know, I don't think the Bills are done. I do think they're going to try to add another receiver to go along with Sammy Watkins. Whether that's the draft, I do think a guy like Corey Davis, Mike Williams, I do think that those guys will be really good at the 10 spots, or they might trade down. They might get a quarterback, who knows. But overall, I do like this deal for the Bills. And, you know, before Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback, before he was a quarterback, you know, he wasn't expected to be a starter at this time. And remember, you got to remember who was the Bills quarterback before Tyrod was the guy. You got guys like EJ Manuel, Matt Castle trying to quarterback this team. And remember, the Bills drafted EJ Manuel in the first round, I think at 12 or 16 overall. I don't know. It was in the first round in a weak quarterback class. So, remember, The Bills originally drafted E.J. Manuel to be the franchise quarterback, but, you know, he looked like he wasn't a franchise quarterback. He looked like he is basically a backup. But, you know, I like the Bills' chances of being a wild card team going forward, because I can't imagine who would have quarterbacked this team next year. And I kind of was worried that the Bills were going to draft a quarterback to be a starter right away. I actually like Deshaun Watson. I think he's the best quarterback in this draft, but I don't know if he can be successful right away. I do think he's going to have a really good career, but I don't think he should be thrown into the fire like that. So I do think that this is the perfect deal for Tyrod Taylor and the Buffalo Bills as they look for their next quarterback. Because I don't think Tyrod Taylor is a franchise quarterback, but I think Tyrod is the best bridge quarterback there is. And, you know, he doesn't get a lot of credit. He doesn't get a lot of credit at all. And, you know, I do think he plays like a poor man's Russell Wilson. And the reason why I don't think he gets a lot of credit, because, you know, his passing yards don't stand out. You know, his touchdowns don't really stand out. He only threw 17 last year. He did 20 the previous year. But he's been efficient. He's been really efficient. He's completed over 60% of his passes ever since he's been a starter. And he's only thrown 12 interceptions in 2 years. So I don't think Tyrod gets a lot of credit. I do think for that reason he is underrated. But I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. He just doesn't. I just don't know what it is about why he's not a franchise quarterback. But I just feel like he's someone that's only going to be good for a good stretch of time. I don't think he has the potential to be good for 10 years. But I do like Tyrod as a perfect bridge quarterback. And, you know, I'm really glad Buffalo got this done. I really am. I'm really glad both sides got this done, because I don't think if Tyrod would have walked away from Buffalo, I don't think he would have been successful in Cleveland. I do think that they may have been a really great chance for him to be a Brown, and man, I don't think he would have been great for that team. And, you know, the Bills have a really good team around Tyrod, so I do think for that reason, I do like that deal better for him. But the reason why I don't think he will be a franchise quarterback, because, you know, he has to play with the good team around him. Like, he doesn't make the offense better. I think the offense has to make him better. When you look at the top quarterbacks in this league that are franchise guys, you know, they make that team better. I just think Tyrod Taylor is a guy that doesn't turn the ball over, that can manage the game, that won't practically lose the game for you. So for that reason, I do think he's a perfect bridge quarterback. And the reason why that he doesn't really make the team better, but the team makes him better, I think it's the reason why he won't be a franchise quarterback. But that's nothing against him. No disrespect to him. But he's the type of guy that will not turn the ball over. And he'll be really efficient on offense. And I do think with a strong running game, he can be even better. So that's why I think this is a important year for the Bills to have a healthy LeSean McCoy, a healthy Sammy Watkins, probably add in a few receivers there. And I do think this can be a potential wild card team. All right, well, I'm going to take my last break. And when I get back, I'm going to discuss the Marcus Ware and Vince Young. When I get back to Against the Meat Concepts Football Podcast.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Well, the NFL lost, well, I wouldn't say lose, but one of the league's best defensive players of the past decade and a half, I should say, has retired from the NFL for after 12 NFL seasons. Well, DeMarcus Ware announced yesterday at the age of 34 that he is hanging up the cleats. And in a tweet on his official account, he said that long-term health and quality of life outweigh the spark and passion to play that I once had. And he also added that after a lot of thought and prayer, I decided to accept the unknown and retire from my NFL career. And, you know, DeMarcus Ware will finish on the A-time in career sacks. He definitely does have a Hall of Fame type of resume. Remember, he did win Super Bowl 50, so he has a Super Bowl ring to go along with his sack numbers, because they are unbelievable. And, you know, he was a huge part of adding to this defense when they pretty much won a free agency binge in 2014, you know, before they got Peyton Manning. I actually think it was that same offseason. And, you know, he was part of all that to make this defense better, and this defense is still going strong. But, you know, when you look at his numbers compared to other greats that play recently or just retire recently. So I did say that he finished eighth all-time in career sacks with 138.5. DeMarcus Ware actually needed one sack to tie Jason Taylor, who is going to go in the Hall of Fame in August. And with four sacks, he would have passed Michael Strahan and moved to sixth place all time. So I actually thought, and I actually kind of wanted DeMarcus Ware to finish one more year. But honestly, you know, he's about to turn 35. And if he said that he doesn't have the passion that he once had, then you know what? Why not go out on your own terms like that? And that's what he's doing. In 9 seasons with the Cowboys. Man, what a career that he had with Dallas. You know, he was a Pro Bowler every year from 2006 to 2012. He did have a career low in sacks in 2013 and missed the first 3 games. So that was when we probably thought maybe DeMarcus Ware's career is coming to an end. But that was just a bad year that was plagued by injuries. And, you know, from 2006 to 2012, he had at least 11.5 sacks. That is incredible. That is a tough thing to do, to have that amount of sacks and that amount of years consecutively. And, you know, he did have, and I did say he had a career low in sacks, which was 6. But when he came to Denver in 2014, he had 10. And, you know, he didn't have the same sack numbers as he used to have, but, you know, he was getting older. You know, he did have injuries, but he was a very important player for this defense as they went into that Super Bowl run 2 years ago. And I don't know, with DeMarcus Ware having a streak of 7 seasons with at least 11 sacks, that is truly amazing. That's a Hall of Fame resume in itself. And I do think if DeMarcus Ware didn't win that Super Bowl with Dallas, I actually think with that resume of sacks, when you're in the eighth all time, and then like you're very close to Jason Taylor, Michael Strahan, and when you have a streak of 7 seasons with at least 11 sacks, if DeMarcus Ware never were to won that Super Bowl, I still think he would have been a Hall of Famer, no doubt. So I do think that DeMarcus Ware is a first ballot Hall of Famer when he becomes eligible. And, man, what a career that he had. And I kind of wish he would have had one more year. I would have loved to see him move past Michael Strahan to go in the 6th all time. But, you know, he just doesn't have desire to play. And I wish him all the best. And a lot of people are going to – some people will disagree. But I think with those sack numbers that he was one of the most dominant defensive players in his prime. And with the streak of at least 11 sacks in 7 straight seasons, you can't beat that. And I think that's a Hall of Fame resume in itself. If he's not going to be a first ballot, he's definitely going to get in the next time. So he will definitely get in. But, you know, I think the question is if he's going to be a first ballot or not. I'd say yes, because he has the Super Bowl ring to go with it. But, well, it remains to be seen if DeMarcus Ware gets in 5 years from now, if he will be eligible. I do think it will be a travesty for him to get in before Terrell Owens, but that's a whole conversation, a whole other segment itself. But I just want to say congratulations to DeMarcus Ware on a great career, and I hope he makes the Hall of Fame in the first ballot. All right, well, before we go, my last story of the day. Vince Young is going to the CFL with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I hope I'm saying that city right. I even looked up the pronunciation to say this city's name. But he's a Rough Rider now. He's DMX. He's a Rough Rider. So with Vince Young going back to playing professional football, I actually liked the idea. I thought maybe he should have got at least a chance to become a backup, because there's no way he's going to be a star in the NFL. But you got to think about him being, you know, away from the game for a while. You know, he did sign a 2-year deal but it's actually a 1-year deal with an option for the second year. And he last played in an NFL game in the regular season in 2011 with Philadelphia and retired in 2014. So he's been out of the league for 3 years. Well, actually, he's been out of football for 3 years. But, you know, Vince Young, he really wanted to play football again. And remember, he's 33 years old. So I'm gonna say maybe he makes it 1 year, but doesn't come back the second year. I think he might realize that, you know, being away from the game so long, it's going to pretty much hurt him. And I actually enjoy watching Vince Young, you know, in college. You know, remember he was 30-2 in Texas. He led the Longhorns to a Rose Bowl victory over USC, which is, I think, it's one of the best. I still think it's the best college game, in my opinion. And he went from being a third overall pick because of that game. And, you know, things didn't work out in Tennessee. He was rookie of the year. He was a Pro Bowl quarterback in his rookie season. So it looked like he was about to be one of the best quarterbacks in the game. But, you know, things didn't work out with Vince Young and Jeff Fisher, and they, you know, they end up going with Jeff Fisher. You know, they had to choose one, and I do think that Vince Young, I just think that he just wasn't treated fairly in the NFL, and I do think that really hindered his chances of becoming a starter again. Because, you know, he had trouble being a starter. I just didn't think he had the confidence since he left Tennessee. And, you know, ever since Vince Young left, you know, Tennessee haven't had a quarterback there until they drafted Marcus Mariota, who looks like he's about to be that quarterback. Well, he looks like he's about to be the franchise quarterback. You know, he looked really good last season. But, you know, I do think that Vince Young will probably make it 1 year. And I'm actually really glad to see him back into the football landscape. I'm really glad, but honestly, I think his career has been done, and I wish him everything but the best, but I don't think he's going to. I hope he does well just so he can prove me wrong, but, you know, being away from the game so long, I can't see him, you know, being successful at the CFL. And if you really, I think the players that should go to the CFL, are Johnny Manziel and Tim Tebow. I do think those are two guys that really need to be there because Tim Tebow is not going to go back to the NFL because, for one, he's trying to be a baseball player. Two, he doesn't want to change positions. Johnny Manziel, you know, I think he's suspended for 4 games, but I do think that Johnny Manziel will get another chance. But, you know, Vince Young, he's been out of the game for so long, and it's tough for me to see him be successful because he's been away from the game for 3 years. But I do wish Vince Young all the best, and I hope he proves everyone wrong, and hopefully he becomes one of the top players for the Rough Riders at the CFL. All right, well, that's going to conclude my show. I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in. Be sure to come back tomorrow. Anthony will be back. We will discuss any type of news that occurs over the next 24 hours. And you guys come back tomorrow. My name is Jeremiah. And this is the Going to Me Concepts Football Podcast. And you guys come back tomorrow for another action-packed episode.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.